This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Welcome back to the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Corey Majors, Kevin Hagelin. I'm also C. Squiggle, I guess is what you are now calling me. And Shippy. And we are being joined by Radio.com NBA insider Kendrick Perkins. Kendrick, how you doing today, man?
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing today, man?
We are, we're getting through it. And I think, we'll talk about the Mavericks in just a little bit. But this has been a pretty emotional week for most everybody, and I would say most people with the NBA, but man, this is something I think hit everybody. What kind of impact have you seen that Kobe's life and death had on the NBA and yourself?
Well, I tell you what, it was devastating. I'm a real Christian guy. I was raised in the church by my grandparents, and to me, you never question God. God work in mysterious ways, and it's sad, man, but he had to take the life of a great Kobe Bryant, who me personally had started to develop a friendship with him once we retired, through phone conversations and stuff like that, man. And you wonder why Kobe, but you never question God, and sometimes God, has a mysterious ways sometimes of sending messages down to the people and saying, hey, life is short. You just never know. Because nobody in their right mind, including myself, would ever thought that Kobe Bryant would die at the age of 41. When I seen the news, I'm like, not Kobe. Kobe is the king of Mr. Adversity. He would have found a way off that helicopter or found a way to land that helicopter and got through it. But it's a reality check, and to be honest, the responses and what the things I've been seeing around the world, like how to me it's almost like it's bringing people together, and it's making people realize, like, hey, life is not promised. Hey, let's treat every day like it's our last. Let's appreciate our loved ones, and the positive energy that I'm getting from it is just remarkable, in my opinion.
Now, you had mentioned when you learned about the news, but in the social media age, so many people are like watching the news change and evolve. Did you get caught up in that cycle where, like, ABC News said four of his kids had died, and there was word that Rick Fox had died? Like, did you get caught up in that, all of that, like, ebb and flow as all of that info was coming out?
No, I didn't. I always wait for the confirmation. You have your reliable sources out there that, and for us, with me, the basketball world of it, if I see it come from Adrian Wojnarowski and I see it from Woj, then I'm almost 99% positive that it's true. If it comes from Woj, I always wait on Woj to put his tweet out or whatever he may do. And once he makes his statement, I know it's right, because he has that credibility, and to me, he's never told false information. And I never did get caught up into it, but not once after it started hitting, I knew Kobe was had passed on us. I knew that much. I didn't know who else was on the plane, but I did believe from the jump that it was Kobe Bryant, though.
And you were talking about the moment. We got Kendrick Perkins on with us right now on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. You were talking about the experience of realizing, just what our mortality is and kind of changing and coming together. And we did see on social media you reached out to KD. And was that – I mean, that's got to be the drive behind that reaching out. And was it welcomed?
Well, it was, man. And, my whole thing was that I could have did it, through phone conversations or through a text message. But, our beef was on social media. Our beef was in the public. And I wanted to reach out publicly and squash the beef and show the world that, hey, this hit home for me. And all the millions of good times that Kevin and I shared for, you know, just as a brotherhood, I wouldn't go let another moment pass by without me doing my part. Cause I played, I did some wrongdoing in that Twitter beef. And, you know, you can't take things back, but you can apologize and try to move forward. And I just wanted to let the world know that, and KD know, man, that I'm sorry, bro. Like, hey, you know, whatever I did and playing a role in that Twitter beef, I wanted to squash it on Twitter. And then on top of that, I wanted to open eyes of others and make them realize, you know, hey, man, you know, if you're beefing with a loved one or a friend, you know, the next 60 seconds is not promised to us. So, you know, try to squash that, try to move on, and try to tell a loved one, someone that you love them and you care about them, and try to move forward. And that's the messages that I want to get out there.
I think that is a truly excellent message, and I hope a lot of people look at the example you set and decide, good point, I'll do that too. Now, the last time we had you on, we talked quite a bit about Kristaps Porzingis, and you kind of gave us an idea that, like, maybe you should be worried if he comes back and plays and then sits and then plays and then sits. Well, we're starting to see a variation of that play out where he's come back, he's played a couple games, then he's been listed as questionable, and obviously he's not playing on the other side of a back-to-back. And is it time that Mavericks fans start to get concerned? Because I think we're there.
Well, I was concerned. I've been concerned about him. I mean, to me, I just, you know, it's no knock on Porzingis, but, you know, when you look at a guy in Luka Doncic, You see superstar written all over him. To me, Porzingis is not even, you know, a second option guy. And I was kind of concerned for the Mavs fans because I think, you know, a lot of Dallas fans were kind of fooled by that and was like, hey, we got us a dynamic duo. And I was like, not just yet. You know, Porzingis is a good player, but I don't know if he's that number two option. You know, I don't know if he could be a guy that could actually, you know, if Luka, you know, went out, he could just possibly carry a team in a 10-game span and have them go, you know, 7-3, you know, on the average side, on the good side, you know. And, you know, I knew it was going to come to light, and it's showing, man. You know, it's just showing.
The addition of Willie Cauley-Stein.
So y'all telling me y'all worried right now?
Yes,
absolutely, man. Yeah, if he can't show up night in, night out, I want the guy when the playoffs come around because I want some points. But I mean, every single night I'm worried if he's going to be healthy enough.
And
yeah, man.
I got to tell you, the other thing that worries me even beyond health is what you were just saying. Is I wonder if Kristaps is like a really good third option on a really good team. And like you were saying, we kind of fooled ourselves into thinking he's a really good second option on a really good team.
Yeah, he did. I mean, listen, he's a good player. Is he a player that's like a game changer? I don't believe. Like, to me, like, I pray for the kid. I hope he gets through that Achilles rupture. But the Powell kid was playing better than Porzingis. He was playing, you know, he was giving the Mavericks what they need on both ends of the floor. Him and Luka had a great connection on the court, something that we thought Porzingis and Luka would be doing right now. But, you know, Porzingis, man, you know, and I understand the rest, and I understand him coming off an ACL injury, but I had an ACL tear. I was a guy that went through that same injury, and I was back in 6 months. Porzingis had over, almost a year to rehab and recover. Like, to me, like, we're past the halfway mark. Right now, it shouldn't be no excuses. You know, he should be in round form. We should see a Porzingis that's, you know, giving us 25 points and 18 rebounds and 7 blocks right now, and we're not getting that.
Hopefully we can get it out of him during the playoffs. That's all I'm begging for, Kendrick. That's all I'm asking for, man, is just get to the playoffs and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
They added Willie Cauley-Stein, and my co-host, and they pretty much got him for nothing there.
Sure.
But my co-host told a lot of our listeners to be prepared to see less than exceptional nights from Willie Cauley-Stein, that you're probably going to get more nights like you got last night from him in his debut, and that was – 4 points, a few rebounds, and about 20 minutes.
I agree.
You do? A lot of people were like really hoping that he could be that Dwight Powell replacement, but he's a different type of player. I've always thought of him like an underachiever.
Yeah, he is an underachiever. And I'm telling you that the Powell kid, him and it's apples and oranges with Willie Cauley-Stein, but you applaud, Dallas for making the move because, it's low risk for high reward. So it's not like you had to go out there and pay or go get Willie Cauley-Stein and give up a lot. So to me, it was a great move by the Mavericks because it's low risk. You're not asking him to come in. If he give you something one night and he's able to come out there and give you 12 points and 8 rebounds, then you're putting yourself in great position. But we got to expect, don't set the ceiling too high for Willie Cauley-Stein because he is who he is. Like, he's what you seen last night. He's going to give you that 4 points and 6 rebounds, and that's what he's going to do.
Now that we've had the chance to, see a good half of the season play out, what are your general thoughts on the Mavericks, especially when looking into the playoffs? Still a team that could make some noise or a team that will get some playoff experience, probably get bounced, and then have to regroup from there?
Well, I think they're a team that could get some playoff experience, although when healthy, and like I said, Powell was a huge blow. But if Porzingis could step up, they could make some noise because – I love Dallas role players. I love Steph Curry. I love Bronson. That kid could play. He plays his tails off. I love what the Wright kid brings in off the bench. I love what Tim Hardaway Jr. And I love the other kid, Finney Smith. So, and the big 7'6".
Boban.
Boban plays well when he plays, man. I'm telling you, he plays well. And Luka is just a bona fide superstar. The sky's the limit. But my only concern with Luka is, in the playoffs, what teams are going to do, especially in their Western Conference Finals. They're going to say, nah, Luka, we're not going to let you get 40 tonight. We're going to trap you until you get the ball up, and we're going to make other guys beat us. And can those other guys actually step up to the plate, and are they capable of going for 30 to 35 points? Because right now in the NBA, in order to advance in the playoffs, you need 2 to 3 guys on your team that's capable for exploding for, a 30-point night in case your number one superstar is having an off night. You need that number two or number three option that could – because 20 points is the norm right now in the league. Like, back in the day when you used to average 20, you was doing something. But now, averaging 20 points, you see that, people doing that easily. You have a little stud down there in Memphis and the kid Dylan Brooks. He's almost, over the last month, he's been putting up 20 every night. So, 20 is the norm. They got so many people averaging 19 points right now, it's ridiculous. So you need that star that could rise to the occasion if Luka is getting trapped to say, I'm going to take over and give you that 35 tonight or 40-point game.
Hey,
I don't know if Dallas has it.
Oh, man. Well, hopefully they can make one more move to make that happen. Perk, before we let you go, we're seeing, Mark Cuban said no player will ever wear 24 again. And then around the league, guys are starting to give up their number. I wanted to get your thoughts on that real quick before we say bye.
I love it. I love it. And that's what I say about, it's horrible that it happened to Kobe, but you could just see this happening is waking guys up and bringing people together, and you just love to see it. You love to see it. I think it's beautiful how guys and Mark Cuban and owners and other franchises and players are honoring the great Kobe Bryant And I think it's beautiful, and it's only going to bring not only the NBA world, but I think it's going to bring the world in general more closer and together and make people look at life totally different.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We always appreciate when you can hop on with us.
All right, fellas, make sure y'all get me back for the playoffs start, though.
Oh, yeah, we
yes,
will.
Sir.
Absolutely,
all
man.
Right.
All right, be good.
Kendrick Perkins, our radio.com NBA insider.
We're going to have him come hang out with us when the playoffs come around, man.
Yeah, he loves him some Luka Doncic.
Yeah, he does.
He does not love him some Kristaps.
Oh, well, that's a maybe.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, NFL players get arrested more in Miami than any other city. So what exactly is going to happen the rest of this week? We'll talk about it next right here on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Kevin, and good night. Miami is a place that you do not want to party at, because, especially if you're an NFL player, because you just might get arrested. We'll talk about that in just a moment, because it is the highest in arrests when it comes to NFL players. So this week, I don't know how they're keeping their guys from having chaos happen, but you only got a few more days before it could. The other story, though, I wanted to get into really quickly, Kevin, is Troy Aikman was talking about Mike McCarthy, and he said, I don't think they could have hired a better coach. He said, without a doubt, I thought looking at them that they were really talented. I would talk to coaches around the league, and to a man, there's not many coaches that wouldn't have traded their roster with the Cowboys, but they needed somebody, right?
Yeah.
He said, I don't think they could have hired a better coach. I loved him when he was with Green Bay. I loved the way he approached it with us. He was always honest. I liked his style, liked the way his teams were prepared, and his resume speaks for itself. I believe if he is allowed – here's the part, Kevin. I believe if he's allowed to go and run this team the way he has in Green Bay, I think they'll have success.
Yeah, then he's going to fail.
What? Because you don't think he's going to be allowed to run his team?
Nope.
Jeez, man.
Do you disagree?
I do.
Really?
For at least the first 2 years.
Okay.
At least the first 2 years, and whenever, if there's no success, then, like, that's the thing.
What do you define as success?
Playoff success. Get to a championship game. I think he's got to get this team over the hump.
All right, so.
That's why they moved on from Garrett, because they could not get over the hump.
If at the very least, let's say they get to the NFC championship game in the next 2 years, he buys more time to do things his way?
Yeah.
Okay. And if he does not, then it's back to business as usual.
Yeah. I think Jerry then starts to seep back in, and he's like, well, I mean, if you can't get this job done.
Okay.
Remember when I told Jerry to fix this thing? And he was like, that's fair. It's on me. And I think Jerry understands and feels that way.
Okay.
That listen, if it's not getting done, I have to do something. The reason he went on to Good Morning Football and said, look, I want success in the business world, but more importantly, I want success here, because if you don't finish number one, you failed. Then that's Jerry Jones trying to make that difference, right? This season, he stepped in. He stepped in to become part of that storyline, and I don't think he wants to be part of it anymore. I know he does the show and everything, because I think the show's entertaining. I think when Jerry Jones hops on with us, it's very entertaining. He's got great stories. He's got, at any point, it could be volatile and be interesting. But
oh, what is that based on?
A conversation I had with him and Bill.
Gotcha.
But the thing is, I don't think he wants that blame. So I think he wants somebody to have the success so that he can benefit from it.
Okay, look, I'm inclined to believe, Troy Aikman and you, that if...
Jimmy Johnson said it too.
And Jimmy Johnson, if left to his own devices, then he could be successful. I'm just very skeptical that he will be left to his own devices. But, you know, fair compromise. You get 2 years of free reign. And if 2 years of free reign with what a lot of people, though maybe not as many as before, think is a pretty ready-made roster, and you can't get it done, then I get it. I don't have to like it, but I get it.
Also, at the Fox Sports media availability, Troy Aikman said, about Dak Prescott. A year ago, I'd say just in terms of seeing coverages, knowing where they're vulnerable, knowing where their weaknesses are within the coverage, getting the ball out on time. But he showed all that. He showed all that this year. He was amazing. Compared to where he was a year ago, it's night and day.
Oh.
And then he added this. Hey, I can spend anybody's money as well as anybody. I'm good at that. And I've been wanting to spend Jerry's money for a long time.
Oh,
I don't know why he hasn't
signed.
I'm sure there's a good reason, but I'd be surprised if that deal's not done real soon.
Nope. Nope. That's not what I heard. That is not what I heard that you just said.
What did he say?
Go back.
I can spend anybody's money as well as anybody.
Keep going.
I'm good at that, and I've been wanting to spend Jerry's money for a long time.
What did I just hear him say?
He wants to be the GM for the
Cowboys. There it is! I did not hear a man who said, you need to pay Dak Prescott his money. I heard a man who says, we need to work in cooperation to appropriately spend your money on him as well as several other players, and I'll let you know what I think. I just heard him say, I would like to be the Dallas Cowboys GM.
He's applying for the job.
Here, approved.
But
that was my rubber stamp of approval.
But we can rubber stamp it. Like, we can approve it. Jalen Smith could rubber stamp it. Like, everybody could do that. But
relax.
But Jerry and Steven have to sign off on that, and that's just not going to happen.
Never going to happen.
Never going to happen. All right. The Super Bowl site of Miami. Kevin, it's been more than 20 years since Eugene Robinson was arrested
with the Falcons
the night before the Super Bowl with the Falcons.
Mm.
But that tale still is around, especially this week with the Chiefs getting ready to play the Niners in Miami Gardens.
I think I have the right Super Bowl. I remember I was so disappointed at that Super Bowl matchup because all year it seemed like it was going to be Broncos against the Vikings. The unstoppable force in the NFC versus the immovable object in the AFC. And then Atlanta beat Minnesota in the NFC Championship. I was like, what is this garbage? You know Denver is going to roll past them.
Do you remember what he got caught doing?
It was a solicitation.
Soliciting a prostitute in Miami. Kevin, Miami is a city that is notorious for a never-ending nightlife.
Yes.
Bars.
Yes.
Dance clubs. Adult dance clubs.
Oh.
Adult dance clubs. And anything else that you're looking to party with, right? It is Magic City. That's what's going on there.
Oh.
The Miami metro area has had by far the highest number of NFL players arrested and citations since 2000. According to a database of more than 950 such incidents compiled by USA Today. Over that time, at least 60 active NFL players were arrested or cited in the Miami metro area, with only a third of those playing for the Dolphins.
What?
Yeah. So 20 out of the 60. The next biggest hotspot.
So two-thirds of them. Hold on. I'm sorry, Corey. I know there's a lot to get to. But you're telling me that two-thirds of the people arrested in Miami that play NFL football do not play NFL football for the team in Miami.
Right.
That's so weird.
The next biggest hotspot for NFL player trouble are Metro Atlanta.
Oh, my God. I was totally going to ask that. And you know why? Because Atlanta, probably biggest strip club culture
per capita
in America.
Okay. New York.
Makes sense.
Denver.
What?
And Minneapolis.
What?
Each with a little more than 40. So, Miami, 60 accounts. And then the rest of them got just about 40 or more. Now, Antrell Roll, former University of Miami All-American cornerback, played with the Giants.
Oh, no.
He said that there is a long-standing racial profiling that goes on South Beach as well. But he said,
Is there really?
Yeah. If you look at the numbers there, it's 56 of the 60 incidents were African-American players. Three were Polynesian and one was Hispanic. None were white.
That's really surprising because they have a heavy Latin American community in Miami. Fascinating.
But Antrell Roll said, guys come down here and they lose their mind. The women, the free access you have wherever you want to go, they don't know how to have just one, two, three drinks. They have six, seven, eight, and they find themselves belligerent. That's it. Exactly the way that it is down there is they have the best concerts. They got everything going on. Lizzo's performing at Shaq's at Miami Beach. Shaq's hosting a party with Pitbull and Diddy.
Yeah, and he actually just came out with a statement just a few seconds ago or a few minutes ago, basically saying because of Kobe's death, he was going back and forth on whether or not to still throw the party. He's going to plan, he plans to keep going with the party, and all proceeds from the party is going to go to the Kobe and Vanessa Bryant Foundation.
See?
And they're going to have two, they're going to have two jerseys, two giant jerseys, 1-8, 1-24, that'll be up in the rafters, you know, like illuminated for the party.
Wow. Rob Gronkowski's hosting the beach party that Shippy wants to go to, and that's got Diplo and Rick Ross performing. And you've been to a Rick Ross concert, Kevin.
I have, but I can tell you this.
Dude, it was so awesome.
There is nobody who I would have instantaneously connected with Gronk quicker than Diplo. Like, you didn't even have to tell me that. Like, you just tell me Gronk's there, and I just assume Diplo's there.
Yeah.
Edgerrin James is co-hosting a four-day series of concerts that will culminate with a stripper bowl the night after the game.
The night after?
The night after.
How does that work?
Still there on Monday.
Randall Thrill Hill, a Miami native who played receiver for the Hurricanes and Dolphins, says, "You have more athletes and celebrities who want to come to South Florida than any other place. Why do you think the Super Bowl's been in Miami so many times?" In Atlanta, there's 43. New York City, Dallas has 28 arrests, by the way. Cincinnati is 30. Phoenix is 30. Dallas, 28. San Francisco, 26.
I remember I learned a lot about the strip club scene when the Dallas Cowboys signed Adam Pac-Man Jones.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And it's difficult for outsiders to kind of understand, like, the lifestyle that exists down there. Because once they get there, they don't understand, like, why they can have so much stuff going on. But, like, Robbie Anderson was with the Jets. He was arrested at the Rolling Loud Music Festival and accused of fighting with security staff and police.
The one in Miami?
Yeah.
Which one? Was this last year?
17.
Oh, okay, yeah. Back then there was, I think a bunch of people were arrested that year.
Cincinnati Bengals running back Mark Walton was arrested four times last year alone. Pleaded no contest to a misdemeanor weapons charge to settle three of those cases. Ty Law, who won three Super Bowls for the Patriots, was arrested in 2004 after police pulled him over in a Rolls Royce due to an alleged lane violation. And so he was also charged with failure to obey a police officer, but all charges were later dropped. Law's attorney at the time said, classic case of driving while black.
Oh, okay.
And in 2018, a study conducted by the University of Miami and ACLU found that black residents of the Miami-Dade County are arrested far more frequently than their white or Hispanic neighbors down there. So that is something, that is a big factor in what goes on. But like Entrell Rule said, guys come here, they show up, and they don't control themselves. So Pat Mahomes and all those guys, I often wonder, and I heard somebody say this week, it's really important that that you get everything you can done before you leave your building. Try and get all of your planning for your strategy and everything done there, because once you get to Super Bowl week, there are media obligations, there are parties. You want the opportunity to experience those parties too, and you want to be able to say, hey, you know, I did take in some of the experience. But you want to make sure you have your plan implemented before you even take off to get to Miami.
Yeah, and I
think that Andy Reid and both and Kyle Shanahan would understand that, both having been to Super Bowls.
No, and I would agree with that, but I wonder how many of those players are like, that's all fine and well, I'll party at some other point. My only objective is to win a Super Bowl.
Michael Irvin had a great point yesterday when he was like, look, I made sure I went out. Jimmy Johnson told us to go out the first couple nights so we could get it out of our system, so that when people said you missed it, oh, well, I didn't. I actually already had my party. So maybe that's the way to approach it, and that's a smart way to go about it. But I did like this question from the 817. How long before Vegas shows up on this list when the Raiders move?
Ooh.
I mean, I would say the second you reach that 10-year period, it's not going to be even freaking close that it's going to be Vegas, but we'll see. Then again, the NFL has a lot invested in Vegas, so maybe they make sure some of those arrests never really count on the list.
Interesting. What happens in Vegas?
That's right. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the Mavericks already did this, but should Kobe's jersey number be retired across the league? Autoflex Leasing Fantex 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here on The Fan. But before we get to that, I know what you would like to retire in 2020. all of your unfortunate debt problems. And you're like, yeah, that'd be great. But it's not going to happen, Corey.
No.
It's just not.
Absolutely.
You know, that's what I said in 2019, 2018, 2017. Well, what did you do about it? Here's one thing that you can do about it to actually get the momentum moving in the right direction on your finances. Go to DallasTexasLegal.com or call Tolo himself, Mark Rubin, at 1-800-LAWYERS.
Sometimes the debt starts to stack up slowly over time. Other times it hits all at the same time. If those phone calls from credit card companies and debt collection agencies just won't stop, then you need to make a call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. You don't want to talk to an out-of-state debt consolidation firm. Talk to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. He's a passionate sports fan, just like you and me. He's local, he's one of us, and he can help you right now. Call Mark at 1-800-LAWYERS or Dallas, Texas Legal.
We're not going to be able to joke at his Hall of Fame ceremony. We're not going to be able to say, hi, I got 5, you got 4. The fact that we're not going to be able to say, if we would stay together, we could have got 10. Those are the things that you can't get back. And with the loss of my father, my sister, and my thing, that's the only thing I wish I could just say something to him again. Last time I talked to him was when we were here and I asked him to get 50 and he got 60. It's the last time I spoke to him.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3, the Fan, Corey Majors, Kevin Hagelin, and Shippy, and that Shaq last night. If you didn't get a chance to see it, and do they have the whole thing up to go back and watch? It was the
they should.
If you go on the NBA inside the NBA on TNT Twitter account, they've got pretty much all of this in little 4-minute clips. So you can see Jerry West or Rick Fox or Kenny the Jet Smith or Steve Nash. Dwayne Wade was part of it, so if you want to skip that part, I understand. But the Shaq stuff, like, you know, it's all up there. That's how I actually was able to take the majority of that in because I was busy watching the Mavs.
Okay, and again, yeah.
Good decision.
It was an hour-long special of them just sitting on the court, talking to each other. And, Kevin, that was – I told you yesterday, I think, or maybe it was Monday. One of the reasons that I wanted to get into this business was because it was after – and this is weird – but after 9/11, me and my friends were all sitting around talking and being very open and honest about some things. And I found myself like captivated by the conversation we were having in that moment. That's why I found last night captivating. Because in a time of tragedy, people really do start to have more open and honest discussions with each other and about their feelings and emotions because they feel it's necessary, even if it's just to cleanse themselves of it.
We joked earlier in Crosstalk. Sharif was like, you don't seem like somebody who likes to talk about their feelings. And I was like, yeah, that's probably fair. And the last time we really got into it was about a year ago when my dad died. I talked about all of that and it was really cathartic for me.
But Shaq was, and I think last night was cathartic for him because he, like you said, he lost some other people in his life too.
That's the part. Like, I mean, obviously I certainly understand that this is very unfortunate and he sounded just crushed
he was torn
by
up,
this.
Man.
But when you also factor in, you know, what he said about his mom, about his sister, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That's so much stuff. Like, I don't know. Like, I have lived a very charmed life in terms of, like, not losing a whole ton of people mm-hmm. who are close to me. Like, I was sad about my dad, but I'm 40. You know, it's not mm-hmm. like he died when I was a little kid or anything, and I had trouble processing it for the entirety of my life. And so I cannot imagine, like, back to back to back, how you deal with that.
And that's one of the things, you know, we played audio from the podcast that he was on, which was the first time he'd spoken since all this happened. And, like, he opened it up talking about how his sister just passed away. And he brought up, you know, you never think, because it was his little sister. And so he always thought, man, like, yeah. I always thought my little sister, she would outlive me. And the same thing with Kobe. I think he said that. Yeah, he was 40. He's 47. Kobe was 41. So he always assumed that, you know, Kobe would outlive him, and just the nature of how soon these tragedies happen in his life back to back. I mean, he brought up that he hadn't been eating, he hadn't been sleeping, he hadn't been doing anything. He'd pretty much go to work, you know, for a little bit, you know. And it's like Kevin, how you talked about when your father passed away. Coming to work was almost like a bit of a release
yes,
for you.
Yes, 100%.
It gave you something else to think about, something else to do, and he mentioned that.
Yeah, the boss has asked, what the hell are you doing here? And I was like, where else am I going to be? Sitting at home? Like, all you dealt with all day was, like, I had to talk to the funeral people. I had to talk to the people from the bank. I had to talk to the people. Like, all this, like, and then at night, there's nothing.
Yeah, and that's what Shaq said, is he said, you know, when I'm here at work, it takes my mind off things. When I go home, I'm alone. I'm here with my thoughts only. You know, all I have to do is worry and focus on, you know, the deaths of both my sister and now Kobe.
I totally get that.
The other thing that's happening right now is, you know, Mark Cuban said no Maverick will wear 24 again.
Yep.
And then last night, the Mavericks took the 8-second violation, let the Suns let the 24 seconds run off, and they went on. They had their moment last night. It was a moment of silence that Sean Heath asked for, and it was quiet. Like, I just can't imagine how eerie it sounds to have that many people in one room and have quiet.
And one thing that was really cool about that moment, too, is they played the Kobe tribute video with no music.
Sound. No sound at all.
So it was just...
Oh, really?
It was just totally quiet in the AAC, and during the moment of silence on the Jumbotron, you're just watching this tribute video that the folks with the Dallas Mavericks made for Kobe.
But now, Kevin, you're starting to see something else happen around the NBA that we asked Kendrick Perkins about, and he thinks it's awesome. And that is, Spencer Dinwiddie said he's giving up number 8. And it appears that more players are giving up the numbers, not wanting to wear number 8, not wanting to wear number 24. And Shippy said, hey, should the rest of the league just say, okay, let's retire the number. And I'm very curious to, if all these guys give up the number, will anybody in the future want to wear that number? And you said you think that people will.
I do. And so I thought about this quite a bit, and I think Kobe has obviously he has a huge reach across basketball, but we have to keep in mind that, like, society doesn't work the way that, like, the age of people you are work, you know? Like, for me, I can't imagine any NBA player ever not being influenced by Michael Jordan, right? But my son is 15, and when you talk with him and his friends, and they're, like, you know, playing pickup ball or whatever, they're like, oh, Curry or Kobe. Like, they're not saying Jordan.
Right.
And so I was thinking, like, you know, Kobe didn't have the best years the last few years, and then he's been retired. So let's say it's a span of like 3 or 4 years where Kobe hasn't been like ultra relevant to certain amounts of people. All right. So everybody 10 and under, do they really have like an affinity or anything like that for Kobe? I don't know about that. Now, people that are already in the NBA and high school and middle school, like, I certainly think that the charge can carry through for that. But I wonder, like, will the group that's like 12 or under, whatever it is, will they grow up like idolizing Ja Morant or Zion or Luka or Giannis or whoever it is? And they would be like, Kobe? Oh, the old guy? Yeah, really sad that he died. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, they won't say iconic NBA player. They'll be like, man, I bet he couldn't hang with Giannis or whatever. Because that's just how every generation thinks that their guy was the best, right? And so I do kind of wonder about that. Like, I have no doubt that he spans a whole lot of places, but I do think there'll become a time when those 12-year-olds or 10-year-olds or whatever get to the NBA and they're like, no, not Kobe. It was Giannis, it was Luka, it was whoever.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just natural, you know, like you said, because you don't watch them while they're playing. But I think, like, this is a cool way, especially for kids who are growing up as Maverick fans, when they see 24 is retired and 24 in the rafters, a good way to be like, oh, that's Kobe Bryant. And I don't know about you guys, but if there's players in the rafters at the AAC just for making, you know, just having their jersey retired by either the Stars or the Mavericks, I would go back when I was a kid and just try to find videos of them from when they played to see, hey, what did this guy, what was his game like? Was he a scorer? Was he a physical guy? You know, and I think that would be kind of a way for future generations to educate themselves about Kobe, because I think if Kobe was still alive, just being an ambassador of the game and still being involved with the NBA – you know, which seems like he was going to be for quite some time, especially with, you know, Gigi and her what seemed to be clear path to the WNBA. It seemed like they would still know who he was if he was still around.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack right there, and I think you make a lot of good points. The one thing I would say I'm not super keen on is I'm not super keen on Kobe's jersey being raised up in the rafters of the AAC.
And I was wondering how they would do that, right? Because Jackie Robinson at Globe Life Park, you know, it was... is displayed, I think it was in left field or something like that, you know, around one of the concourse levels. So that's one thing that I was thinking is how are the Mavericks going to handle this?
Yeah, like if nobody from the Mavericks is ever going to wear that jersey again, like Cuban said, I totally get that that's his way of honoring it. I do not think it's a great idea to raise his jersey up in the rafters. Like, that I think is a little too far.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's one of the things that I think is reserved for, like, the most special and groundbreaking people that have ever been involved in a particular
right.
sport. Like, you know, people will say, well, Jackie Robinson's jersey's retired for everyone. I was like, sure, but we can all agree those weren't the same situations, right?
Like, one day we're going to retire Mike Bassett's chair.
That's for sure. That's for sure gonna happen.
Yeah, but I guess the rafters thing, I'm not as much caught up on that. I'm just talking about, you know, hey, why does nobody wear a 24 whenever it's brought up? You know, that's a way for the future generations to educate themselves.
And Fish did report that it's not gonna be raised. It's just gonna be retired. And I understand that it holds that place for. Hey, look, there's a certain thing you have to live up to here, and this is our homage. This is our, you know, that Dirk thing that's the silhouette that's on the court. It doesn't stand out hardcore, but it's very delicately there, and I think this is a very delicate it's there that it doesn't exist for anybody else.
This is really interesting. From the 469, Jordan didn't die, but LeBron came out wearing Jordan's number. That's a fascinating part about all of this because people are saying, well, Jordan's number isn't retired everywhere. And that is kind of just the way society works, though, is Kobe would be honored, sure, because of what he did for the game, but also because he died. You know, like if Michael Jordan had died, I think they would have done that same thing. So for people that are asking, well, why isn't this jersey retired? Why isn't this jersey retired? I mean, it's a very simple practical matter of Kobe died significantly sooner than any of these other iconic players.
Right.
And that's just how society works.
Yeah. I do think, though, Kevin, that because of this generation of players, because I think you're going to see more players do it across the league because they had friendships with him. You talked to Perkins
sure.
earlier, and he was like, look, man, I started becoming better friends with him off the court because we were starting to grow, and I really wanted to ask him a little more about what he was learning from him and what they were getting to know, but, you know, that's a deep dive right there. But with these players, they were actually starting to get mentored. Lots of players were being mentored by him. That's what he was spending his time doing, was trying to help players grow because he wanted the NBA to be the best quality product out there. So I think there is a section and a segment of players, and I do wonder, is there a guy in a locker room with a teammate that has 24 on right now, and he's going, hey, maybe you probably shouldn't be wearing that number anymore. And do you feel the pressure of that?
That's really fascinating. I don't know if you guys will want to pick up this topic at some point. From the 214, he wasn't a national hero. Stop it with a retired shirt. I wonder at what point will the pushback be a little louder? Like, you know, you've seen it on the fan text.
Mm-hmm.
We get a certain number of people who are like, what about this? What about blah, 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 blah. Like, and I understand all of that. It just didn't feel like the right time at all to be getting into any of that. I wonder how much time goes by before the, like, anti-Kobe contingent pushes back harder. Because, you know, we talk about this all the time. It has nothing to do with Kobe. This is just the culture we live in. We love to build people up, but we love to tear them down just as much. So I wonder how much longer before people start pushing back harder against Kobe Bryant. Because you know those people are out there. We've seen those people on the fan text every single day. And I wonder if there will be some sort of backlash to like a league-wide retirement or how people will feel about this.
Probably at some point.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Want a chance to win $1,000?
I do.
Man, I'm telling you, if you live in Dallas, this is the area to win $1,000.
Absolutely.
So we now have, what, three this
three
week?
Three in the last 3 days.
That's freaking insane. Your opportunity right now, unique. Send the word.
Yes, this is a unique opportunity,
unique
Kevin.
New York.
What's the
unique
word?
Unique New York.
Unique. UNIQUE. To 72881. That is our word of the hour, part of the national contest. Your opportunity to win $1,000. Text unique.
There's a lot of uniques in Game of Thrones.
To 72881. That's a eunuch. Thank you very much. Coming up. Oh, did you not think I would say it? Coming up next, Super Bowl Soup, the most unbreakable records in Super Bowl history. You're going to like this. We'll do it next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.